Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We began this new year, 2020, with a sermon series entitled 2020 Vision. Obviously, very obvious that we wanted to do that, use that for what it was worth. But we have spent the last 8 weeks recounting what Jesus' vision is for his church. Today we conclude with that overarching vision for his church. Before Jesus left earth to return to the right hand of God, he left his followers with a simple, clear, and yet profound vision that could be summed up with that one word: go. This is what we call, again, the Great Commission, found at the end of Matthew 28 that Stacy just read for us a moment ago. Jesus said, go. Go and make disciples. Go baptize. Go teach. If anybody remembers the old Alice in Wonderland movie, right? When she gets to that fork in the road, that crossroads, she asks the Cheshire Cat which way to go. But he asks her, where are you going? And she replies, I don't know. At which he replies, if you don't know where you are going, what difference does it make which path you take? Well, thank goodness we are not Alice, and we are not wondering which path to take, because Jesus has not left us with indecision, but he has offered to us a very clear direction. I like to put it this way, taking that old mission statement from the Starship Enterprise and making it a discipleship mission statement today. So it goes like this. Next slide, there we go. Earth, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Church of Jesus Christ. Its ongoing mission to share the gospel throughout the world, to seek out new opportunities and new locations, to boldly go where no one has gone before. We are called to go. And the first thing Jesus says is go and make disciples. That great commission starts with a command. This word go is in the imperative, which means that it is crucial, of vital importance. In fact, it's an authoritative command. Jesus couches it in that language in verse 18 when he says it this way: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The key point is that we go not with our own agenda, not on our own whims, but rather we are sent out with the authority and the power that Christ has given to his church. You see, this is not the great suggestion, maybe you can go or you might go. It's a command. It's a call to go and to serve God in this world today. There's an old legend or story that has Jesus arriving in heaven right after his ascension, welcomed by all the angels. And the angel Gabriel asked Jesus, you suffered much. You died for the sins of humanity. Does everyone down on earth know about that? Oh, no, replied the Savior. Just a handful of folks in Jerusalem and Galilee know about it. Well, Master, Gabriel continued, what's your plan for everyone to know of your great love? The Master replied, I ask all my apostles to carry the message into the world. I told them to tell others, who will in turn tell others, until the last person in the farthest corner of the earth has heard the story. Gabriel's face kind of clouds up, and he spots a flaw in the plan. He says, well, what if after a while Peter forgets, and he goes back to his fishing boat? Or the same with James or John or Andrew. Or suppose Matthew returns to his tax booth in Capernaum, and if all the others lose their zeal and don't tell anyone, what then? After a pause, the calm voice of the Lord comes back and says, Gabriel, I have no other plan. There is no other plan. Jesus started with 12 people. He poured his life into their lives. His vision is simple yet profound. He wants us to duplicate, to copy his plan. As he poured into those 12, they are to mentor and encourage and pour into others. And the cycle continues. People, this is called discipleship. It's life-to-life coaching, mentoring, encouraging. And of course, at the very heart of that is sharing the good news of the gospel, which we can sum up very easily in John 3:16, words that we know, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It begins there. And with God's love, we build up those relationships with others by sharing and caring, instructing, praying, coaching, encouraging them to do the same thing with someone else. I like how Martin Luther put it. He said it very simply. We are all beggars, showing other beggars where to find the bread. And that bread is the living bread of heaven, Jesus Christ our Lord. Or as someone else framed it, the gospel is not something that we just go to church to hear. It's something that we go from church to tell. So we need both. We need to hear it, but we also need to go and tell it. The second thing that Jesus says is that we should go and baptize. Baptism is our entrance into the kingdom of God. Yes, that first step is to make disciples, to pour into someone what has been poured into us. We might continue that work of growing discipleship. But it's like that expression, you know the one, be a friend, make a friend, bring a friend to Christ. We begin by building the relationship with the other person. And once you have trust with that person, then you can take that next step to bring that person to Christ. The entrance to Christ then takes place through baptism. It's by water and the word that we are made new, that the old life of sin is washed away, forgiven by the grace of God, and we are transformed into a new person, a person with a new lease and a new outlook on life, people whose desire it is to model the life that Christ modeled for us. I like how St. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Here's how that transformation takes place. There was a story of a young man. Now, this could be any one of us, young man, young woman, it doesn't matter. In this young man's life, in his younger life, he lived it up. He partied, he enjoyed himself, he lived life by the world standards, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, go for the gusto and all that stuff. He fell in love, he got married, he had two children. And though he believed in God, church and faith really weren't a huge deal for him. And then somewhere along the way, his life began to fall apart. His children didn't have a strong foundation. Yeah, one found his way through the fog, the other wound up in trouble. The love of his life was no longer in love with him. They got divorced. In the midst of all the hard times, he had a come to Jesus moment and realized that just going to church wasn't enough. He needed to be a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. So his life took on a transformation. He realized how important his faith really was all these years. He began to model that for his children, making up for missed opportunities along the way. And now he modeled it also for his grandchildren. He met and married a woman of faith, and they journey now together in faith. He's passionate about his church and about his faith. He's now living out all these years later what it means to be a baptized child of God, a true disciple of Jesus Christ. It's made a huge difference in how he lives his life and how he is now pouring into other people. The transformation can indeed take place for any one of us. Finally, when Jesus calls us to go, he calls us to go and teach. Jesus set the example for those first disciples. In fact, if you go to Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and following, here's what Jesus said. He called the 12 together. He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. You see, Jesus had spent time with them doing all of those things. They watched him heal people. They watched him cast out demons. They listened to him teach about the kingdom of God. And now he was sending them out. This was their first outing to kind of cut their teeth on discipleship, if you know what I mean. It's like the first time that we let our son Benjamin behind the wheel of a car. He was 15. We were in South Dakota visiting Joyce's family. Her brother Jim encouraged Ben to get behind the wheel of his old truck. Of course, Ben didn't hesitate one bit to do that. And it was a fairly safe environment, open farmland, gravel roads along section lines, straight as an arrow. And everything went fine until we came to the first turn. And Ben proceeded into that turn full speed ahead. Joyce and I quickly yelled, "Slow down!" We slid a little bit around that corner, but otherwise we were okay. But you see, Ben had to cut his teeth on learning how to drive, learning the finer points before he could be a licensed driver. Well, that's how it was with the disciples. Jesus didn't send them out with a diploma from the rabbinical school of the master, fully primed for discipleship, tackling it head on. No, they were disciples in training. He sent them out to learn by doing. One of the axioms that we have used here at Holy Ghost over the years is this. Practice makes. Thank you. Not perfect, because only Jesus is perfect. Better. Yes, better. Practice makes better. We get better by practicing, by doing, by learning what it means to go and be a disciple. And you know what? This discipleship, it's not hard stuff. But it does take some intentionality on our part. It takes some effort for us to pour into someone else. I'm still learning all this myself. It's kind of fun to keep learning as you go along the journey. And when you do, it's amazing the opportunities that God places before you to keep practicing being a disciple. I had the privilege a little over a week ago to attend the pastor's annual conference in Orlando, Florida. The theme, get this, was Disciple Life. Exactly what we're talking about today. And we were poured into by many speakers, one of which was our Pastor Buba, our NALC mission director, modern-day St. Paul, Ethiopian evangelist. And you know, like many conferences you go to, you are just like trying to drink from a fire hydrant. So much good stuff is coming towards you. And you can only get a few bits and pieces because you can't take it all in. I can't drink that fast, all right? But the great stuff then is taking what you have learned and starting to apply it. So before I left, or on my way leaving and coming back home, God placed three opportunities before me. The first was with one of the hotel staff, one of those faithful servants who was there making sure we had coffee for our coffee breaks, plenty of fresh water and ice. He served tables at the meals, took up our dishes when they were dirty, all of that good stuff. And, you know, I could have spent all my time visiting with other pastors and leaders, and I did some of that, but there were three of us that the Holy Spirit nudged to strike up a conversation with this guy. His name was Mute. We discovered he was from Ethiopia, was of the Oromo people, the Christian, the Lutheran folks over in Ethiopia. And we asked if he knew Pastor Buba. Oh, his eyes lit up. And he said, yes, he is famous on TV preaching the gospel. He says, I never thought I would ever get to meet him. And here he is at this very conference. For those that don't know, Pastor Buba has a television ministry where he broadcasts worship into many nations in Africa and in the Middle East, believe it or not. So we asked Mute if he would like to get a picture with Pastor Buba. He said, well, I'm not allowed to have my phone at work, so I can't do that. So we found a way to make it happen. We finally cornered Pastor Buba, which is not an easy job. And we ran and got Mute, and we took several pictures of them together, and then we got his phone number and sent him those pictures that we took. His response was one of great gratitude and joy. He said, never in my life would I have ever thought this would be possible. He spent the rest of our time while there going out of his way to say thank you, because we had taken the time to pour into him and present that possibility for him. The next person I met was also quite under the direction of God. I had scheduled, before I even left here, a ride to or from the airport to the motel and then back on Saturday morning, be picked up at 4:30 a.m. Well, Saturday morning came, 4:30 a.m. came. No ride was there from the service I had contracted with. I waited about 20 minutes, nothing. I had about a 45-minute ride to the airport. I was getting a little nervous. I had an early flight. So I got on my Lyft app, scheduled a pickup. The guy was there in 5 minutes. I never did hear until I got to the airport from the other company. So I said, too late. I already got a ride. But my Lyft driver came. He was alert, awake at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, ready to go. His name was Eric. We struck up a conversation, and it didn't take long. He began to share his life's story, his problems, his struggles that he had come through, and now how a change had taken place in his life, and that how things were looking up. Yeah, he was working 3 jobs. He was raising 2 girls. He was caring for his mom, but he knew that God was in the midst of that blessing him. His life had been transformed. I simply listened and encouraged him to have hope and to keep on doing what he was doing. Guess what? I got to the airport in record time that morning. The third person that I encountered was Zoe, a real estate agent from Orlando. She was on her way to Dallas for a national real estate conference. I was flying Southwest. Anybody ever flown Southwest, right? You don't have assigned seats, so you try to get a good boarding pass. Well, I had an A boarding pass, which was pretty darn good, so I got to choose my seat quickly. Because the window seats and the aisle seats fill up right away, and then those middle seats, of course, are left for those that get on later or forget to get their boarding passes early. Well, there was another guy in the aisle seat, so I said, anybody sitting over here? Nope. So I jumped right in, grabbed the window seat, and as the plane was filling up, you know, people kept coming by, and finally Zoe asked if there was anyone sitting there. We both said, nope. So she popped in and settled in. Before we even left Orlando, before the plane even left out of the taxiway to get onto the runway, she struck up a conversation with me. She told me what she did and where she was going and asked what I did. I told her I was a pastor at a church in Texas. We spent those next couple of hours on the plane sharing our experiences, our joys, and our struggles. As we landed in Dallas, to get off the plane, she extended her hand to me, big old warm handshake, and a smile, and said, to my new friend, Pastor David. I love that. Folks, this discipleship stuff is not hard, right? We don't have to have a full-fledged diploma from Holy Ghost saying that we are a disciple. All we have to do is be willing to put our faith in action and go. God will always present opportunities for us. And we can continue to learn by doing, for God is guiding us along the way. So as you go from here today, as you go, make disciples. Amen.